Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansom Breath, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Lead Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you?
Hello, Cindy. How are you?
Yeah, it was so funny. I was logged on early. And then all of a sudden, when I went to dial in, it just wouldn't take my dial in. So
Oh, dear Lord.
I am, like, everything up, and I'm thinking, okay, nice and leisurely, I'm going to do this. And the next second, I'm like 20 seconds to showtime. You know, that's always fun. It gives you a little jolt, doesn't it? A little jolt. And I'm so glad to hear from you. And I want to thank all of our listeners and clients, and we had a lot of different people came to the South Country Tavern for the gallery reading I did this week. We were sold out and packed, and it was wonderful. It's always good to see our faces and that we know, and voices that sometimes we find a face with a voice, because we sometimes in the radio show we haven't met them. So it's interesting.
Yep.
So how is your week going?
It's going pretty well. I cannot complain. As I said last week, you know, Lisa and I were prepping for the new place and everything like that. And, you know, we put in our applications, and my mom was good enough to co-sign for us, because these people were expecting perfection. So, so we're just waiting on a response now, and hopefully we get it.
I know, it's funny with the co-signing. I had to do it for my nephew. You know, the music in the beginning of our show is from my nephew, Miles Sebastian. So I had to co-sign an apartment for him in Williamsburg a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
I remember that.
It was like, And I was so glad that I did it, because, you know, of course, otherwise he wouldn't have been able to rent the space. And, you know, sometimes I just need that person willing to, like, you know that they're going to pay it. I didn't have any doubt that he would pay for it. But, you know what I mean? But, and everybody's like, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be co-signing. I'm like, really? I trust my gut. This one's okay. You know, my guy told me, yeah, I could trust this guy, you know, but it's so funny about that. And then I thought I would tell you a little bit of it, not so funny story, but interesting. You know, I had to, do an update on my iPad, because it wouldn't let Yahoo Mail go onto it, because Yahoo, since they got that big hack, which I had warned Yahoo years ago that they had a major breach in some of their stuff, and they just kind of laughed at me, and remember they had this huge hack after that, 150 million people, so now they're like overly paranoid. So I'm like, I hate updating, because you never know with your calendar, you lose it and everything, but, you know, of course, I have my, you know, the cloud now, so I said, okay, at least it's in my phone and everything, so I update the calendar, and it looks like it's all really good, and I'm thinking, oh, wow, it's really great. Yeah, it's great, except it doesn't have any phone numbers in it. So all the phone numbers that – no, could you imagine now, who came up with an update for an iPad? And and you're in your calendar where there's a space for phone numbers, it doesn't put any phone numbers in it. So last night I said, well, before I don't know what it's going to do when it – you know, syncs to the cloud. Was it going to sync with the iPad, or is it going to sync with what has the phone numbers in it? You know what I'm saying? So I'm sitting there last night putting all the phone numbers in forward, you know, through the, and it's a lot of numbers last night. And I just, who comes up with this stuff? How do they, like, not realize there's a major glitch in something? I mean, it's absurd. Isn't it absurd?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these people are paid millions of dollars. Like, how do you not check things and double check things? And,
I don't. You know,
you
what?
Know?
I really, really don't know. You know what? And it's funny that you said that too, because you know, like I was talking to, you know, a couple of coworkers recently about this. And we were talking about the difference between people today versus, you know, people, you know, that are kind of like closer to our age and things like that. And, you know, just the care and the time with your profession is, I don't think that it's taken. I mean, think about it this way. How many times do we have issues with Blog Talk Radio? You know, how many times do we have, you know, technology problems where, you know, the update did this and you hear about it with the phones and computers and everything else. And it's, you know what, like, and then they employ somebody else to fix these things instead of just doing them right the first time. And even in my company, you know, recently, all of a sudden, a couple of websites had gone down. And luckily, I was there late because I was the only one that's authorized to be there late. And guess what? As I'm walking out the door, I was already late because I had my own work to do, but I had to sit there until 8:30 with this kid one night because he made a mistake. He wrote over data that was important. About 40% of the web, of the company's websites had gone down, and then we had to sit there and wait for a backup so that we can get these things back online. And then all of a sudden, around like 8:30, he's like, okay, we're good. Let's just go. So I leave, unbeknownst to me, he never finished the update. He just got tired of waiting and said, oh, well, I'll check on it early in the morning. So I was like, you got to be kidding me. So you got tired of waiting. I'm the one that's sitting there with no work to do. Well, actually, there's always work to do, but I was the one sitting there finished with the work that I wanted to do, waiting for him, and he says, oh, yeah, no, I'm good now. Let's go. So I don't ask questions because it's not my department. And then I find out the next day that, yeah, he never even fixed the problem. He was waiting for the upload. And then, of course, there was a problem with the upload. So from the night before at 8:30, so people came in at 7:30 to address the issue, his ticker on that upload went all from 17 to 19%. In all of that time, because he did something wrong even on that.
Wow. Now you can just see, like, this is what I'm talking about. This is like, and I said, this is a really big glitch in it. And now, even when it's, you know, it's syncing with the other one, it didn't put the numbers back in into it. Like, and could you imagine? I was frantic thinking, if it syncs and removes the numbers from all of it, my phone numbers, I'm going to be out of my mind. And meanwhile, it doesn't, all the back numbers are gone. Okay, so thank God. Mm-hmm. Now I can't update my phone ever because that's where the numbers that I'm going to need, because, you know, sometimes that's what I refer to. But it's just crazy, crazy stuff. Like, why is it, you know, I just think that people are just not double-checking their work and not double-checking things. And it's,
they don't care to double-check them.
No, but it's just, you know, one of those things. It's like, let's go back to, like, a world in which you try to do your best job and you really do, you know, double check things, because it just makes people's life. And I mean, that was 2 hours work last night that I really didn't want to do. Do you know what I mean? It was like,
exactly.
It's absurd. And of course, they keep telling you if you don't update your iPad and your phone, you're going to get hacked into. So
yeah, it's going
to
go down anyway.
We have to worry that we're going to be hacked into, or now you're going to take all my important info from me. So which is worse? I mean, it's crazy. So, you know, I think Apple, for all the money, and anybody listening, and, you know, if, you know, these things, we have to, like, just, you know, write to Apple. That's what I did, email, like, what is with your problem here? Like, what is with this? I mean, any time I've ever done an Apple update, it screwed up a calendar. It screwed up something. It's never not screwed up something.
I know.
And everybody, you know, starts freaking. What it did for one of my clients who needs to look up a lot of her notes and things. Well, what it did was make it so you can't search in your notes, where she used to be able to search in her notes. And she, like, was freaking for like 2 hours. It's like, now I can't. The way that I ran my business was I'd search into my notes for the information and get it. Now I can't do that. So I'm like, it's always something, isn't it? So this is our new mission. People, do your job well. That's what we're asking.
Please.
Now, we do have a lot of listeners, more than I thought, on this beautiful day. I hope you got to get a little air today.
I did.
I got a little bit, slightly, me too. And, of course, I'm going to have us go down to the 3622, which is Sal, because I know he's been trying to get on the show for a couple of weeks, and we had to push him off, thanks to Blog Talk Radio not wanting us to have the same people on all the time. But and then anyone who wants to talk to us can press 1. And Nicole will start screening while I talk to Sal, because we know Sal's pretty safe here, okay?
Sal,
we can trust he won't hijack
Sal's
the show.
Sal's not crazy. I mean, Sal might be a little bit crazy, but I don't think he's going to hijack the show, so it's fine. Hello, Sal, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm going to hijack. I'm going to start my own show.
Okay, good. You're gonna... So how is everything
and
going your way?
And I'm going to lock you guys out, so I'll talk to you.
Oh, I know, isn't that funny? I know, it's so funny that we, you know.
I was just calling.
So what's happening in your world?
Oh, God, I don't know. So many things, where do I start?
All right, start with you for a change, not John. How about you? What's going on with you?
John's listening, he's going through some tough stuff, but, you know, enough.
But I wanted to ask, is John there with you right now?
No, John's listening on his phone. He's headed home.
Okay, because I'm interested to know if, I know that he has this soulmate and she was getting a divorce and then she went sort of back to her husband or whatever, but after she got cancer, do you know if her health insurance is controlled by him? Is he the one who, if she leaves him?
Yes, it is, and that was a big
problem.
That's
the answer. In other words, I woke up in the middle of the night and your son, Sal, who has passed away, said to me, Cindy, it's obvious, and I'm like, what's obvious? That she can't leave him now and she can't talk to John because her husband never, cared if she had a relationship or anything outside of the marriage because he's that kind of a guy. But he only cared if she was going to leave him. And so she can't talk to him at all because John is a real threat and he threatened to take her health insurance away. And being she had cancer.
That's what Jen has said to me. Jen had reading the cards for John and she came up with that scenario with the whole health insurance thing. And, he holds a lot of stuff over her head. And she's just laying back and blocking him because, she doesn't want to create problems until she gets what she wants. And then she's going to move on from there.
Right. That's why, John, because I could see that John, I think he's listening right now, because I could see that Nicole put update on it. That he has to understand that if she is to even be seen talking to him or messaging him, he will stop her health insurance.
Yeah, he's threatening her. He's
threatening
her.
So, and she didn't want to say it to John because she didn't want John going there and beating the hell out of him or anything, So the point is, as soon as her health crisis is through, and she has to figure out that she can go in New York State of Health herself right now and get her own health, plan. But, right now when she has cancer, nobody's going to want to take her insurance.
She's scared right now.
She's scared. So that's the only reason. And he should have seen that when she came to him in the store when he saw her and ran into her and she hugged him.
She told him that in the store. She told him all this. John. You understand something. I love John Death. I know him for 45 years since we've been kids, since we've been 5 years old. Okay? And John, you can tell him what you want to tell him, and he will pick everything bad out of everything you say. He'll never hear the good, only the bad he focuses in on. That's his problem. And he has no patience whatsoever. No.
Now, John, are you listening? Because we're telling you just be patient.
John actually wants to talk, Cindy. So can
okay,
I
let's
patch
keep
John
keep...
in?
No,
yes,
don't
put
talk about me.
Okay, so we'll talk about you, but now that we've got John, and then we'll talk to John for one minute, and then we'll get your thunder, okay, and your lightning bolts. Okay.
Oh, wait,
John, did you
hear? So what am I doing? Am I patching John in now and then taking him out here so that he doesn't steal Sal's thunder?
You can do it however you can get him on. Can you have two people on at the same time? Okay,
Are you there? And don't steal Sal's thunder because we're talking about Sal. But you get to try with him in this little bit.
We started off talking about me, and it goes right to him every time.
You started out talking to him, and you were right to me. And honestly, I'm not here to steal anybody's thunder. I was just listening to the fact that, Jen reads these cards all the time, and quite honestly, Vivian is under constraints of she's trying to keep everything cool and calm over there because there's things she's trying to put together so that she can get him to greet her before she leaves. So that once she gets signed to once she gets it signed and green, then she can leave. Is that how it's being looked at by everybody?
That's what's happening right here. That's what I see,
okay,
too.
So,
but John,
okay,
you've been
so
told.
Stop,
you gotta,
so stop right
you gotta
there. Stop right there. All I'm saying is, it's getting harder and harder the longer I am away from her. I miss her more. I went out last night. My friend from California came in, took me out last night to the social club last night, and there were all European women there. There was one better looking than the other, drop dead gorgeous, right? And I
thank you.
The reason why I'm telling you is because my friend the joint, I need to get you a distraction. Well, you know what? Three songs came on. All three songs that reminded me of Vivian that we were having each other. Okay?
That's the universe telling you to get the hell out of here. You don't listen.
And there went my thing all over again. I wasn't going to think about it. I thought about it again. And I went home.
Oh,
I got up this morning. I was so depressed this morning. I really was really depressed this morning because I miss her so much. And I feel like the longer away she is from me, she's going to forget me, and then she's going to
be
No. Absence
you.
Makes the heart grow fonder. Soulmates, it doesn't matter if they don't see each other for 20 years. They just pick up where they left off. So you're being told by God, ye of little faith, okay, and what Sal said, you need patience, because it's like you're trying to make water boil before it can boil. Sometimes we just, our karmic lessons are patience.
Listen, I've been thinking about this woman, Cindy. I've been thinking about this woman for 4 or 5. I feel like I'm in a relationship with this woman.
Cindy, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, you know, look, I'm a broken man, okay? I'm trying to put my pieces back together. I've never loved like this in my life, ever. I don't even know what...
I even know
this kind of love... I never think this kind of love existed, okay? And I'm crazy about
it. Because you wear your heart on your sleeve.
And I just want to be with her, and I just don't know how long it's going to take. Is it going to be another
forever?
6 months?
Okay, so are you hearing what I told you? Your karmic lesson is perseverance, endurance, and patience. Love waits.
Love waits.
So
how long? Another 6 months?
I don't think it's going to be that long. It looks more like 2 months.
Cindy, I'm going to interject
you
here because I'm going to interject
Nicole, for just a second.
No, Nicole is not giving an opinion. Nicole is just going to mute John's mic so that Sal can speak because Sal's been trying to say something and he can't get a word in. So, John, you're muted now. Sal, what were you saying, baby?
This is what happens. I told him that he's probably going to get contacted her probably June. And probably not going to be back together until July. She's got to grow her hair back somewhat. That's a major issue, okay? And she's probably in the process of doing everything she needs to do, like Jen said, to get all her stuff in order to leave this guy. She ain't going to do nothing to upset the court, so to speak, you know?
Right, because she can't. So it's about finances. It's why women historically have never been able to leave men when they wanted to because they couldn't afford to. There's a lot going on here. But what it is patience, love waits. And, you know, part of when we have a soulmate, like he said, he's never loved this way. That's the song, Michael Bolton's song, This Is More Than Love I Feel Inside. Nobody understands that song unless they have a soulmate, okay? But
absolutely,
soulmates always have obstacles to overcome. It's a little bit of patience and endurance. And, you know, really, all of us have to learn patience on Earth, okay? Because most of the time we've screwed up our life because we just weren't patient enough. We just had to have the answer now. We just had to do something now.
Yep.
People have a really hard time doing nothing, okay?
Like,
and right now, he can do nothing. That's all you can do is do nothing. We know it when we're pregnant for 9 months. You want that baby tomorrow, but you're only 2 months pregnant. You got to wait 9 months.
You've got to wait. You know what? And where I'm going to chime in here is that, and I'm speaking from personal experience, and John, I just want everybody to know John is still muted. He's still there, but he's still muted because
we love him.
He needs to make sure that he's listening.
We love him muted.
We love him, but he needs to listen now, okay? But from personal experience, okay, and Cindy, you can attest to this because you went through this with me more than once, okay, throughout my
years. I went through this whole thing.
Oh, absolutely, you know, but here's the thing. The more you want it and the more you say when, you inadvertently could be delaying what's happening because now you're weakening yourself and you're pretty much putting it out there that you can't stand alone. And a functional good relationship is two people who are active, who are independent yet together, okay? One does not complete the other. They are two individuals, and they just happen to be two individuals that creates something new when they come together. So the weaker you put yourself out there, the weaker you make yourself, and the weaker you come off by the constant when I need her, I need her, I need her, I want her, I want her, I want her, you could be prolonging how long you're away from her, because you're not standing on your own two feet.
Right.
So now I'm going to put John back in. I'm going to let John chime in.
Tell me when we're done with John.
Okay. John gets 1 minute, and then we're going to get Sal's question.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I just, Sal, when I see Sal, I'm going to punch him in his chin because he's annoying me tonight because all he's doing is mumbling, talking. He hasn't stopped talking yet. So, you know, shut up already.
You're just starting to sound like Maury Povich.
Sounds so annoying already. Just listen to him a second, okay? I understand what all you guys are saying. All I said was that it's very hard to do this, and I understand what's her name was just saying about pushing her away because you can't stand your own two, your aunt,
Nicole.
Because you can't stand your own 2 feet. I am in such a funky depression from this. I wish I can get out of it. I'm stuck. I go in and out of it. That's how, you know, Vivian would be in one room, I'd be in the other room. I feel like part of me was missing, even when I was with her. So to be apart for 5 months drives me insane. I never thought I'd be this long apart from her ever because of fucking my language. I can't stand it.
It is really hard when soulmates are separated. It's really, really difficult. And that's why there's so many love songs about the love that got away or longing for a person. And you're just, be patient. I'm seeing her coming back to you. And, you know, in the meantime, keep doing what you were doing a few weeks ago, doing your yoga, doing things that keep you calm and keep you from getting sick, because this kind of experience can make someone very sick, by the way.
Yeah, it is. It has. It has. It physically and mentally made me, I'm mentally not the same person right now. Didn't you say last week, I heard you saying, because I listen to your show now every week, didn't you say something about 1% of soulmates only really get back together?
No, 1% maintain it. 1% maintain the soulmate love, where they don't take each other for granted, and they don't make it toxic. So most people, after a while, just start taking soulmates for granted. You brought up a very important point. When you're back with her, you'll never take her for granted. So maybe that's part of your lesson here, that you'll never take each other for granted. It'll be that special. So God's kept you on a cross a little bit to make sure that when you have this love, you'll be so happy.
I'm going to invite her to see all my aunts, anybody who's alive that's part of my family. I'm going to introduce her to my friends, my family, my aunts, my uncles, make her feel like she's really a part of my family.
And that's really great.
You never did that.
So now we're going to, like, take John off the air. And Sal has a question because we have other listeners, so we got to kind of keep this moving. So, okay. Now, Sal, what's on your mind besides John? We got that out of the picture. Okay.
There you go. The John and Sal show. That's what's on.
Uh-huh.
No, I want to ask you. Remember when we were discussing my daughter?
Hi, Jackie.
Yes, your daughter.
And remember when we were discussing my daughter and you told me not to say nothing to her? You know, I've been talking to her a little bit by little bit. You know, I didn't reveal any information. But, you know, like you had said that her boyfriend was going to threaten her with the kid. And he did exactly what you said he was going to do. But he never went to court. He never followed through with it because, you know, she's not straightening up his act. She was stealing his checks, giving me bogus checks, you know, for money and, because he owns a business. And I told her, I said, Sarah, you can't keep writing these checks. Well, I had checks on the side of my bed that she gave me, $70 and $25 that I totally forgot about. And I said, oh, I got the checks, and I went and cashed them. Well, he must have found out, and he flew up the handle, a big hurrah. You know, went on with that. But what I wanted to ask you is this girl ever going to get straight?
Well, what I'm seeing, and it's a problem in America because people, you know, they get involved in drugs or alcohol and problems, and they're screwing up their lives. What I see here is he's serious about it, and that I'm warning you, he's going to start going to court to take the child from her. Okay, so she had better heed warning that his family is starting to back him very strongly, and she's going to lose her child.
Well, when I backed him, she got all mad at me. You're my dad. I said, Sarah, but you are wrong. You're wrong.
Right.
You know, because I don't want to lose my grandson, you know what I'm saying?
Of course, and just read her The Riot Act. And we, listen, we have a lot of listeners out there whose children are involved with drugs, who are involved in drugs, who have kids, who are doing this. I can't stress enough that there's going to be a point where the good to a fault person who's been enabling you for 10 years or 5 years or 4 years is going to get fed up, and they're going to lose custody of their children. I mean, she may need to hit rock bottom to wake up. And,
from what she told me was that she's weeding herself down from the Xanax. And I told her that, hey, look, if you take them the way the doctor gives them to you, it's not going to be a problem. But I think you get addicted to them things regardless of how you take them.
Right. What happens is Xanax is one of them. When doctors prescribe it like water, and people get hooked on it, and they get a tolerance for it, and then doctors don't want to give you more, and so you have to go out and buy it in the street. And what's happening is, you know, a lot of the generation of women in their 30s are hooked on Xanax. Doctors gave it like water, and then it becomes a problem. And so, you know, in the original thing, you know, everyone was, I'm sure, hoping that she could just take the prescribed amount from the doctor, but she can't. So she's got to get off of it entirely. It doesn't work with her taking any at all because she can't control it. And, you know, unfortunately, you can't just withdraw from Xanax. You have to go through the rehab like she went once before, because otherwise you die. Xanax is one of the drugs you can die going through withdrawal. So it's really dangerous. But it's like she has to acknowledge that she's an addict.
You tell me that. I get prescribed clozapine, which is the same thing as Xanax, but a slow time release, okay? And then I feel that something's going to happen to her. Did I give her a couple? And I don't want to keep giving her a couple because I feel guilty.
You can't because you're enabling her and it's a federal offense, two things, okay? So
no, I know that, what I'm saying is no more.
You can't give her more because she's an addict, okay? So normally you would hope that she would be able to go with what her doctor's prescribing, but when you're an addict, you cannot have she can't have any of it. So she's going to have to find a way to live without any of it.
I lost one kid. I lost my son. And I don't want to lose my daughter, so that's why I get nervous with these seizures and these withdrawal shit, you know what I mean?
Right, and of course, because and what Sal's talking about is a problem astronomically across the country, people losing their young people to drugs, and, you know, she should know better, and, you know, your son who died of the overdose is right there guiding her all the time, but it isn't going to work for her to take any Xanax at all. It isn't going to work at all. She's got to be clean.
You want to laugh. The job that I was trying to get that we keep saying is a way away or whatever, two of the guys over the weekend overdosed, and these guys are in their 50s.
That's what I'm saying. Now this is you can see we have a major, major opiate problem. I've been talking about this for 13 years, okay? I knew about it when it first hit. People thought I was out of my mind, and I'm saying you don't understand. You know, this is going to get out of control. And I personally think that our generation of parents, we failed our children. We failed the world by not getting a grip on this soon enough. And now it's an astronomical problem all across the board. And opiates are a major source of death among people. And it's in people in the 50s and 40s and 60s now. It's not just young people. It's across the board. And a lot of older people got hooked on them from the doctors giving them pain pills, and then they got, you know, they couldn't get the pain pills anymore, and then they got hooked on the heroin. So, you know, with your daughter, it's serious here. He's serious. He's going to take that kid from her. And I guarantee by the end of the summer, if she doesn't clean up her act, he's going to leave her, and he's going to take that kid with him. So
what do you think I should tell?
Just warn her that this isn't a joke, he's serious, and that she needs to go to rehab again, and this time stay clean, and she can't take any of it. She can't take any of it anymore.
I think she needs a 30-day rehab, but she keeps giving me an excuse. She doesn't want to leave her son for 30 days. I get that, but you know what?
Well, she doesn't want to leave her son for 30 days. You're going to have to tell her she's going to leave him for 30 years, because this guy's going to take the kid away from her and only allow her limited visits. So 30 days versus you're going to lose custody of your kid, would only have like a few visits a week, which are probably going to have with a social worker. You know what it is to have your visits with a social worker from CPS?
I know. What do you suggest I do? Well, that's what I'm asking.
You're going to do tough love with her, and you're going to tell her, look, on this I can't support you. I think you're wrong. And, you know, I'm telling you right now, you're going to have to clean up your act, or you're going to lose your kid. And I can't do anything to stop it at this point. It's out of my control. It'll be out of your control. And once the state gets in there, it's out of her control, by the way.
Yeah. All right, so
if
I need to have a conversation with her.
Have a very strong conversation with her. Well, anyway,
right.
We're going to try to get to other listeners. I'm so sorry about
this,
but
it's an
important topic. You're not the only one. I deal with this at least 4 times a day with parents and what can they do with their kids.
I remember you telling me you're getting sick of talking to dead kids all the time.
I'm getting tired of talking to young overdoses. And what put the sword in my heart was my client lost her second child to it, okay?
Oh.
And that one killed me, okay? And that was the point where I said, how am I going to help your mother? And this was a girl that died. Her brother died. Now she died. And I talked to her from the other side saying, you promised me you would get clean. You promised you wouldn't do this to mother. And I yell at her from the other side saying, you should have shot your mother in the head before you shot that needle in your arm because you killed your mother. You destroyed her. You destroyed her, and there's nothing I can. And I said, and I can't put this one back together. Because, you know, I can't. This is too big a mess. So I'm giving you that little morality tale there, Sal. Take it seriously that your daughter needs help.
All right. I'm going to take care of it.
And prayers will be said by Nicole and I for your beautiful daughter, who I love, by the way. I adore that girl. So, you know, good luck to you, and let us know what happens.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. Now, Nicole, isn't this a problem in America? It's a problem. It's a problem.
Oh, please, is it
the drug
problem? Is a huge problem in America.
Frightening.
It's huge.
It's actually a huge, huge problem, and it's sad. And again, I take it. You know, I spoke about it. You knew me for like since 2008, and you knew I was talking about heroin back in 2008, but it started as far back as 2004. And,
well,
you know,
what's crazy is that back in 2008, when we first started discussing this, you actually, and please, anybody can go back and look at this and listen to it, but you called it. You said that if we don't wrap our heads around this now, we are going to have a huge problem on our hands. And, you know, I remember speaking about other drugs, not heroin. And you kept bringing heroin up back then. And then here we are, fast forward 8 years later, and Suffolk County alone has got the most heroin-related deaths in New York State.
Exactly. And it wasn't something that I wanted to be right on, by the way, but I saw the writing on the wall 13 years ago. I said, I am going to spend my day talking to mothers and fathers who have buried their children. I don't want that to be my job. I don't want it to be my job. And there are days when, you know, TJ takes one look at me in my face and said, how many today? I said, 4 mothers here today. And I had actually 3 mothers in one day, and they were sort of in a row, and I was a little bit backed up and with the readings. And one mother was sitting across the table in my kitchen with another mother, and she said, how long was your son using? And she said, 3 months. And the woman said, you're lucky. And she said, because my son was using it for 10 years and we went bankrupt from this, how much it cost us for rehab. He was in and out of jail. Every night was a nightmare. He overdosed 4 times. Our life was hell.
Yep.
And could you imagine her thinking this woman's blessed that her son died in 3 months? I mean, this is horrible to hear. Horrible to hear.
Yeah.
And this is what I hear all day long. So, anybody, if your children are using drugs, you know, shout it from the rooftops. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. It's what we need to know, that it's a problem. And if we all talk about it instead of shutting up about it, we might have a solution here. But it has gotten out of hand. And again, my generation failed the younger generation. We failed them by allowing this to happen. It's something we're all accountable to God for. And, you know, I couldn't speak loud enough and strong enough until the point it was getting very unpleasant for me, because I was getting very nasty calls that I'm crashing people's house prices in certain towns and that I ought to shut up. And I'm like, I'm not going to shut up. I don't care what you think you're going to do to me, but I'm not going to shut up. But it was handled wrong from the beginning. Instead of calling, the police
and
when
the
kids
reason
got
why it's so horrible, the reason why it's so horrible is because of all the prescriptions that were being written. I mean, I remember years ago getting a tooth pulled and getting a 30-day supply of Vicodin as a result of getting
hooked.
A single tooth pulled. As a result, a single tooth, a wisdom tooth. They gave me a 30-day supply of Vicodin. Like, first of all, A, it's a tooth pulled. I get that some people have got more mouth pain than others, but you shouldn't need Vicodin for tooth pain. You should be able to do Tylenol or you know, like man up, grow some balls here and deal with it, you know, while you're hearing. You don't have to go to an opioid to, you know,
but
just
you have
just
to deal
out of
with
pain.
Pain. Just like we're talking about.
Oh my God,
John.
Yeah, but you know,
you've got
Oxycontin,
pain.
You've got Percocets, Percodan, Vicodin. They wrote prescriptions on this stuff, Dilaudid, they wrote prescriptions for this stuff, like it was candy. And then guess what? When the scripts ran out, guess what happened? People needed to turn to something else. And they went to the illegal version of these drugs, which is heroin.
Right,
it's all
exactly.
The same. And then guess what? You get hooked on the scripts. What do? You get methadone. It's the same shit. The only thing is that one's legal and the other is not.
Right, and then on top
of that, they're throwing out all these damn scripts. They're getting these kids and these people hooked. And then what happens? Let's close down all of the hospitals that are equipped to help people like this. And let's give them so few beds that we can't possibly service everybody that's got a problem.
And that's what's happening, and it's scary. And what's happening is they're using Suboxone now. They're getting Suboxone to help them with. And what my clients who have died from it have done is that they take heroin one day and Suboxone the next, and then they end up with severe head pain, not realizing they're having an aneurysm because you can't mix the two. And then they take heroin to get the pain to go away, and then they die of a stroke and an aneurysm.
Yep.
So it's such a horrible problem. It's a frightening problem, and it's something that is not going to go away. And, like we were talking with John, and he's in pain, emotional and psychological pain right now. Life is full of pain, and the longer we learn to have to deal with it a little bit, to endure it, to get through it without anything, because in the past they never gave drugs like this. If you had your leg amputated, they give you morphine for one day in the 60s and tell you suck it up because you're going to have bigger problems if you're a morphine addict when you get out of here. They used to be tougher about it, and it's something that in America, you can't even fart without taking something for it, okay? You've got to always take something for something. And just stop with all the pills, stop with all the drugs, and it's frightening and it's horrifying, and I think we haven't really dealt with this too much on our show in the last couple of years, but it's something that we dealt with in the past, and it's going to come back now. And I think Sal for bringing it up, because I think it's something that has to be talked about. And if you think your kids are stoned or high, don't go into denial. Okay, I remember telling a mother, your child's hooked on heroin. And she started screaming at me during the reading and said, I was wrong, I'm crazy. I go, why would your dead mother tell me this? Why would she tell me this? Screamed at me, bad-mouthed me to all her friends, which I knew a group of them, told me I was crazy. Mm-hmm. 3 months later, her daughter died, okay, of an overdose. And she called to apologize. And I said, look, and this one I didn't want to be right. I would have been preferred I was wrong, okay? I'm not happy I was right, okay? But if someone is trying to tell you something about your children, listen. Hear it and, address it and do something. Denial is a wonderful mechanism, but it will certainly end up being later on, just because you deny the existence of a problem doesn't mean it's going to go away and it's going to be there. So anyway, we're going to move on to Jen in New York. And please pray for all of our children in America that they, and our not so little children, the people in the 50s that just overdose. Pray for everybody. In this problem.
Yeah.
Frightening.
Yep. Very.
So we do
very
have Jen.
So.
Have we ever read her before? Or
you know what? She sounds familiar, but I didn't ask her if we read her before. But basically, in a nutshell, Jen is calling us from New York City, and she's starting work in September. And she's curious, are there any new friendships on the horizon when she does this? So here we go with Jen in New York. Hello, Jen. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, Jen.
Hello?
We can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay,
Hi.
So you're starting a new job. How exciting. Exciting. And I'm glad that you're hoping to find friends while you're working. And it actually looks like you can enjoy this job very much. Is it a teaching job?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. And it looks like you're going to like it very much. As far as meeting friends. It does look like you'll make some friends. Are you talking male friends, female friends? What kind of friends are you looking
for?
No.
Female friends.
Good. And yes, it looks like you will. You're going to get along with them. This is a new development for you to get a job, huh?
I'm planning on going back to the school I used to work, but it's been a long, long time. It's been 10 years, so it's almost like new.
No, it's great. It looks great. It's going to be put a little strain on you because you have children, and it looks like, you know, it's going to be a little hard to go back to work in the beginning, but you'll get yourself back in the swing, and it also looks like it'll open up friendships and a whole new life for you and a lot of good things here. It's going to change your whole life going back to work, by the way,
and in
a good way.
What way?
Just in a very good way in terms of you being able to have some money of your own and, you know, do with what you want with that. And it looks like, you know, there's some issues in your marriage. Are you aware of that?
Yes, I've spoken to you about that.
Right, and it looks as if this will help you put your money aside and figure out whether you want to stay married or not married. But ultimately, your cards are really good on going back to work. So I'm really proud of you that you got this job. I can't believe you got it. It's wonderful. And,
thank you.
So do us a favor and keep us a little bit posted on this.
But it looks
great, and try not to worry about it too much. But I can see you could use some new friends, and you know, all of us can. We outgrow some of our old ones when we were a mom and we put our life on hold for a while. Sometimes we lose track of some other friends, and just making some new friends. And I love that, you know, you're not 20 and you're still thinking, I'd like to make friends, because, you know, we need to make friends all our life, don't you think?
Yeah.
And these resonate a little more with the way you've changed now. You know, you're not the same person you were 10 years ago or 15 years ago or even 5 years ago. Do you realize you've changed so much?
Yes.
Great. And do us a favor and call in again and let us know how everything goes.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck to you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so now we have Jess. Okay, in New York, love life, relations. Okay, Nicole, you want to maybe fill us in on that one? Nicole,
can you go ahead to my next caller?
Yes.
You're skipping ahead, Cindy. Okay, so we've got Jessica on the line now. And, yeah, I mean, I barely even got a good chance to screen her here because, you know, I was just trying to be so quick. But
she's called in a number of times, Jan, and her question was very good and specific, so we were able to answer a very specific question pretty quickly.
All right, well, there you go. All right, so let's hope that Jess's question is just as quick and just as thorough. All right, so Cindy, for Miss Jessica, do you see any love life issues? Do you see any love life happenings? And what's going on with Miss Jessica? So, hello, Jessica. You are on the air.
Hello, ladies.
Hi, Jessica. So thank you for listening to our show and sharing your little bit of story with us. Actually, you have really phenomenal cards. When is your birthday? I just need the month and the day.
December 3rd.
Okay, good. So, looks like by the time you get to your birthday, in December, there's a lot of good things happening. There's a soulmate card came up, the first card I picked. Are you ready to have a soulmate love at this point?
Well, I just got out of a relationship about a month and a half ago. So I'm kind of like, I don't know where to start. I don't know. I was told, like, just work on yourself.
Good. And that's why by the time your birthday, it looks like you're opening up a new year in December 3rd where your birthday comes. That's when the soulmate will be coming. It was good you ended it, the relationship that you had. I could see that it wasn't going to get better no matter how hard you tried. And how long were you with him?
On and off for 10, 11 years.
Okay, because relationships tend to work in five-year cycles. So we had the closing of 2 5-year cycles, the 10-year mark. God always starts saying, fix it or leave it. And if you were in such a long-term relationship, this is pretty hard for you to be not in one. Are you mourning for the ending of the relationship?
Yes, and like half of me wishes that things would get better or that we could work it out. And then a part of me is like a little excited about what could come.
Right. Now, what were the issues that made it end this time around?
I felt not connected. I felt like he was running. Like I always tried to get him to like hang out with me or just be, you know, affectionate or just feel something with him. Like I just felt like he just gave up.
Right. And when we were talking earlier with John, the 1% of people that actually maintain soulmate relationships is rare. After 5 or 10 years, it's hard to tell who started out as soulmates, who started out as mediocre love, because it all looks about the same. People start taking each other for granted. And, you know, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking? Some people get really defensive about their age, but, you know, even the village idiot can Google our age nowadays, so hiding it is stupid. But, you know what I mean? It's really stupid at this point. Like, yeah, you could Google my name. I'll, you know, it's going to come right up, like the first thing. So how old are you?
I'm 30.
Okay. So you've been with him since you were like 19, and I had a feeling you had to be probably close to 30 at this point because you've been with him for 10 years. But I could tell generationally what you're talking about is these are men that don't want to commit. They don't want to grow up, and they don't even seem to need to see women regularly. This is really weird.
Yeah.
You know, part of it is internet porn has gotten too much so that men don't even need women for sex anymore. And so they'll see you once every 2 weeks. I've never seen such a horny generation of women as the ones in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, by the way. Men, listen up. Listen up. There are women that are very horny out there now. Like, they need to be made love to. They need to be seen regularly. And if you're not going to be with your women regularly, taking them out, making love to them, being with them, they're going to leave you or they're going to get tired of it. I mean, you must have gotten tired of not being a top priority. Are you tired of that?
Yeah.
And, you know, who broke up with who?
He broke up with me. What ended up happening was my best friend, he helped my best friend's fiance move furniture. And
uh-huh.
in the car, he mentioned, like, he has no interest in me and that if a girl talks to him, he's going to talk to them and that he doesn't plan on marrying me. So I brought it up to him, and we've been arguing a lot lately. And that was just like the straw that broke the camel's back.
And right, and what you have to listen to what people say. If people say this stuff, they mean it. And just what's happening with men is the moment, you know, he's been with you 10 years. At this point, it should go to the next level. You should have been married, start thinking about children. What happens, these men start, you know, running away at the moment when they should commit to you and marry you. And, you know, part of it is they don't want to grow up. And, you know, I could see in the beginning you probably were soulmates. Do you remember loving him when you first met him?
Yes, I really felt
with your
like
heart, soul,
connection.
Right, that heart, soul, mind, body. And it's funny because people under the age of 20 know how to love, 20, 21. You start bringing it later as they get older, they stop learning how to love. He's a little bit stupid. He's been with you a long time. He has no idea that most women aren't you. They're not good like you, hardworking, loyal. Let him get a rude awakening out there in the real world, by the way. And, you know, he thinks, like all men of your generation, that they can break up with you and come back 3 or 6 months later and you'll be waiting for them. Pretty much that isn't going to be happening. Like, and right now you're in the withdrawal stage. Like we were talking about addiction. When love goes from soulmate down to toxic, and this is pretty toxic, the way he was treating you, what he said is toxic, it becomes an addiction. It's not good for us. We go back for more. You have to wean off of him. Do you feel like you're withdrawing from him at this point? Do you have that feeling?
Yeah.
And like you almost want to call him, like you know it's not good for you, but you need a fix?
Yeah.
And it's horrible, okay? So the only thing is you have to go cold turkey for 3 months. You can't start texting him. Are you guys still texting each other and communicating that way?
The day that we broke up, I decided not to contact him ever unless he texts me.
And he wants to commit. What I would say, if he texts you, I would say, what's your intention in texting me? So to put 2 feet in this relationship and commit to me? then I'll talk to you. Otherwise, I don't need a fuck buddy. I don't need friends. I got plenty of those, okay? So don't bother me.
He did text me about him working overtime that I can go over and see our dog that we shared.
No, so you have a little custody going on there. He's got custody of the dog, huh?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Now, this is pretty much like a divorce you're going through at this point. You know, you've been with him such a long time. There's a dog. And, you know, now he's going to use the dog to get you to come near him. Do you know that? You know, if he wants to see you, he'll just use the dog as a weapon to get you to see him.
Yeah.
And be careful of that. Now, I don't want the universe to bring you what I call the methadone man. When you're hooked on a guy like heroin, they'll bring you the methadone man. He's not a knight in shining armor. He's not the prince. He's going to be the prince that's going to become the beast. Just more of the same. Like, it's necessary for you to try to stand on your own 2 feet a little bit. Are you trying to do that right now?
I'm trying.
I know. It's hard. Believe me,
yeah.
It's hard. And for women, the collective unconscious of women have been brainwashed to be terrified to be without a man. They've been brainwashed to believe any man, deaf, dumb, blind, lame, stupid, cheating, son of a bitch, is better than standing on their own 2 feet. And it's hard. But I could see he's going to contact you. He's going to use the dog. He's going to, you know, try like in a month just to see if he still got you. But if you were his girlfriend at one point, you can't become his booty call. Okay, because it's you know, you just can't do that. So you're going to have to stand firm on it. I mean, if you still not sure if you want him back or don't want him back, pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing, and pray to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back. If it's this man, so be it. If it's someone else, let the universe bring it forward. But can you see, like I want to smack him. Men are calling all the shots right now. Used to be men owned women because they made all the money. Now half the time your generation, men don't even want to work. They watch video games and masturbate all day, and you could support me, and I'm going to get stoned. If you get one who works, then he doesn't want to commit. But did women come this far supporting themselves, having careers, to have men tell you could be my booty call, not my girlfriend, don't call me, I'll call you, and if I want to sleep with somebody else, I can, and you're going to, and I'm going to have my cake and eat it too? The world has not gotten better since the women's liberation movement. It's gotten worse for women. This is horrible.
Yeah.
And so I'm so glad that you had the self-love enough. Love yourself the way you would love your daughter. I mean, it's horrible what he said to somebody, if I want to. It was embarrassing. I mean, if he feels that way, why is he saying it to people you know? Was he an idiot? I mean,
yeah.
Didn't he
That's
think
like,
they were going to say something?
And I go back and forth between, like, do I believe them? Do I not believe them? Is there some sort of truth to it? Is it 100% truthful, you know?
But he didn't deny it. And he broke
up
with you.
He did say he didn't say it, but that he was done.
Okay, so now my feelings are that he did say it, and he knows they're going to say it, and so he's got to, you know, he's a manipulator, I will tell you that much. He's turning around and acting like you did something wrong by asking him about this, okay?
Yes.
And that now he's done because of it. Now, I think there's some traits you're going to have to examine in him. He's a manipulator. And he's judgmental. He's judging you and everybody else that they're wrong, not him.
Mm-hmm.
He's got traits of a person who's very unfixable. He's over the age of 25. He's not changing. And, you know.
He always made it seem like it was me that, like, you know, you're always miserable and upset about something. But it was never like, look at himself, like, what are you playing in it?
Right, because he's a narcissist, and if he's not seeing you regularly, and you're missing him, and you're frustrated, and you're not with him, of course you're going to be unhappy. But if he's, you know, been with you for 10 years, and you start out as soulmate, you're not asking him to drill his teeth without anesthesia. You're asking him to come make love to you, be with you. This is a very selfish man, from what I'm seeing in these cards here. He's a very selfish man. And it's about him. It's not about you. I see him going to regret it, by the way. I mean, that's why, you know, Adele's album 25 has been the top-selling album around the world for the last 2 years, because your whole generation, every song on that album is about the love that got away, because your generation is really screwing up love, by the way. And
yeah.
I see he's going to come back. There's someone else he's interested in right now and seeing right now, and if you need to find that out for yourself, it wouldn't be that hard to find out. And, you know, he's got somebody there. It's not a soulmate. He's not going to be granted another soulmate. It's a very narcissistic rung on the ladder of love. You know, any cute girl is interchangeable with another. And that usually lasts 3 to 6 months. And if he gets tired of that, then he'll be back. Except it's dangerous for him to screw around with someone like that, because your generation of women also get themselves pregnant and then entrap these guys. So, you know, he's playing a little bit with fire because he's very naive about women. Okay? Do you realize, you know, you're good and he doesn't know what the rest of the world's like out there?
Yeah.
And so when he gets out there with the piranhas, he's gonna regret it. But by then, it looks like you have broken, like, the addicting part of him. You'll be standing on your own 2 feet, and you'll be brought another soulmate, because you're not the one responsible for the ending of this. He's responsible for it. You'll be granted another soulmate. And that will be something that, and it's someone who's going to treat you as an equal. And I think you have to realize the mistakes you've made. You allowed him to come and go as he pleases. You allowed him to not treat you the way you wanted to be treated. And, you know, you allowed him to call all the shots. In a new relationship, I hope you speak up a little more. Are you thinking you can do that?
Yes, I've been told that my past life, the reason why I keep coming back is because I wasn't being heard.
Right, exactly. And you come back also because, you know, women have come back oftentimes because they meet the same men they were married to in past lives, and you were married to this man in a past life. He pulled this crap on you, but you couldn't divorce him. You didn't divorce him. It was very hard to divorce in that lifetime. And now you're back to walk away from him. You're to do what you should have done then. He's not treating you with love. I want you to love yourself the way you would love your daughter. If a man treated your daughter this way, how mad would you be?
Pretty upset.
Because he's not treating you with respect. He's not treating you like the greatest thing since sliced bread. He's been taking you for granted. I mean, I wrote a blog about it. If you're not making love to your mate, somebody else will gladly do it for you. You don't take people for granted. I mean, if you're taking someone for granted, eventually they're going to get tired of it. And, you know, as soon as he started pulling away from you and calling all the shots and watering down the love is when you should have spoken about it. And that was probably 5 years ago. And, you know, at this point, you let it go on too long. And it's very hard to fix a relationship once you let it go on that long. But more than that, he really is very unfixable. He's a manipulative man. He's judgmental. Does he have addictions, by the way? Does he drink too much? What does he do?
He has drank a lot. Not like that he has a problem or anything, but I don't think he's ever dealt with the passing of his dad. And then you throw in the problems in a relationship, and he would always go out and hang out at a bar.
Right. And of course, you hit the nail on the head. He lost his dad. And when people lose someone they love, it kicks in the fear of loving someone who could die on them. And so they take their soulmate love and they start watering it down to mediocre, take it for granted. I can find another one to replace her. I want to be with interchangeable love. I don't want to be with someone that if they die, it's going to devastate me. So he's watered down this love a lot so that it isn't devastation to break up with you. And, you know, how long has his dad been gone?
2 years.
Okay, so did you notice him pulling away more during this period of time when his dad died?
Yeah.
Okay, it's scary for people.
But also I feel like lately, like maybe the last year or two has been like the most, you know, eye-opening.
For you.
Yeah.
And, you know, just be strong. You know, to resist the temptation to call him, because if there's any chance of this working, love can be fixed 2 feet in a relationship or 2 feet out. You had 1 foot in, 1 foot out with each other for a long time, so nothing was getting fixed. And what you're being told now is don't contact him. See if he misses you. Maybe after 3 or 4 months he'll really miss you, and he'll realize how much he really wants to be with you and come back ready to commit and treating you with respect. Or you'll have weaned off of him by then. So, you know, call in and let us know what happens a little bit, please.
I will.
And how you're doing.
I haven't spoken to you guys in so long.
I know you haven't. And I'm so glad that you called in. And, you know, just be firm on it. If you if you want that soulmate love, then you're going to have to be strong and see if he's the one that can step up to play. He does need some therapy, by the way. You know, he needs to talk about some issues.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't do that, it's going to be hard for...
He definitely has issues that I don't want to speak about on the air.
I know. I know. Of course not. And if he doesn't take care of those issues, by the way, there's no hope. Because what we bring forth will heal us. What we keep hidden will destroy us. And if people don't heal their issues, it eventually becomes the death of them, the death of a relationship. They have to heal issues. And if he's resistant to do that, you know, it's only going to get worse for you. It's not going to get better. So please call in again, and we'll be here for you. And we're just
about
the end of our show. You're welcome, and thank you for calling in. Good night now.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, Nicole, so we had a little bit of everything tonight, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We really, really did.
We ran the gamut, and we had the Sal and John show, which they could probably get their own serious radio show, those two. They're like Opie and Anthony or something.
That is hysterical.
Their hosts,
they are so
you
hysterical.
Can tell they know each other. They fight like brothers, don't they?
Yeah,
like,
they're adorable though. They really, really are adorable. But you know what?
Right.
But at the same time though, like even though we had like a little bit of you know we had a little bit of Sal with his daughter. We had obviously John and the saga of John. You know, we had Jennifer, with her whole transition and whether or not, she's going to stay married or not stay married. And now we have Jessica, with the breakup. And, what if you think about everything, there's one commonality about all of those calls. And that was that something is falling apart. Okay, for John, it's his relationship. For Jessica, it's her relationship. You know, for Jennifer, it's her relationship. And even for Sal, it's the relationship with him and his daughter. And people have got to realize.
And her son.
And this is, exactly. And her and her son, exactly, And like Marilyn Monroe said, one of my favorite quotes ever, and she said that sometimes things fall apart so that better things can fall together. So,
right.
And that all roots back to everything has got to hit rock bottom and everything. So, for Jessica, maybe that relationship fell apart so that somebody better and somebody worthy of her can step into place. Same thing with Jennifer. Maybe that situation is happening and it's going to cause something else to fall apart to make room for this new opportunity for her so that things could get better. And maybe Sal's going to hit rock bottom with his daughter and his daughter's going to hit rock bottom with her son to make room for the better to come in. But the thing is, you can't be afraid of the falling apart because you got to realize that everything happens in its own time, in its own right, in its own place.
Exactly. And interesting how you summed it all up for today, and I love that because there's usually a common theme, but believe me, I wouldn't have been able to find it, and you did.
Yep.
And
well, I was watching. It's funny that even happened because I was up until like 3 o'clock in the morning last night, and I was watching a Marilyn Monroe movie, and that was one of her quotes. And it's hysterical, but I saw that movie last night, and then all of a sudden today I got actually to use her quote on the air. So that's great.
Right, because also you saw that, your spirit guides were saying, this is what the show is going to be like, so you're going to sum it up and put it all there for them. So because
well,
it ends on a note of hope. We always like to end our show on a note of hope, and and there is the hope right there, and that things will get better, and we always say all you need is love, and maybe that's what we need. We need to love better and heal ourselves so that we can love better and not mess up our relationships. And, so important. Well, thank you so much for all your help tonight. And, of course, we'll speak next week.
Thank you, Cindy.
Before we have the long Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, yes. So thank you for everybody calling in tonight. Cindy, as always, you did a fantastic job. And thank you to all of our callers tonight.
Good night.